Good morning. It's a beautiful Lord's Day outside today. It's even better inside, and what a joy it is to be able to assemble as we have done today, to sing these praises to God, to remember what our Savior did for us on Calvary, and to worship God today in spirit and in truth. And we're so thankful that you're here this morning. Bill mentioned several being out of town, and that's true. We also are blessed to have several who are visiting with us. And please know that you are our honored guest, and we are truly, truly grateful that you come our way this morning. I do want to mention that Al and Melba Byrd celebrated 46 years of marriage yesterday, so we certainly want to congratulate them, and I hope you will as well. I also want to mention that next Sunday I'll begin a gospel meeting with the Atlas Church of Christ up in North Alabama, so I hope you'll remember me as I'm away beginning next Sunday. Also, Bill mentioned that tonight is a very special night. Brian and Liz and James, Ann and Luke will be leaving us. Now, they're not here this morning. They and the Owens are away on a trip that they planned for a while. They'll be back this afternoon. And we have secretly tried to get the word out that we're having a money tree for the Wakefields. Now, I learned a new term last night. One of our college students told me something, and then she said, now, be sure and keep that on the DL. Disabled list. Baseball. What does that mean? Well, I learned something. Keep it on the down low. That means keep it a secret. Well, we've been trying to keep that a secret from the Wakefields, but they're not here this morning, so I don't have to keep it on the DL. So, if you would like to give some money for the money tree, you can either give that, since the Owens are not here this morning, if you want to give that to me this morning, you're welcome to do so. The money tree is also going to be available for you to come and bring it tonight and put your money on the tree as well. So be sure and get that done if you would like to do so. And let's just look forward tonight to a wonderful night together as we bid our farewells to the Wakefields. And I hope we'll have a good night together. Our lesson this morning is going to be a very simple lesson. I hope it's a lesson that will cause us to think. I want us to think about the last chapter that Paul wrote to the Galatians. If you want to turn to Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 7, Paul there concludes that great letter by saying, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. He that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Now here is a truth, a principle that cannot be avoided in any way whatsoever. We cannot get away from the overwhelming evidence that proves this principle to be so. We must not be deceived because God will not be mocked. Whatever we sow, whatever we plant, we can expect to reap the same thing. Now, this year, after several years of wanting to do so, I planted a tomato plant in a topsy-turvy. It always looks good on television, and I wanted to see how it would work. And you know the story of some of the other things that I've tried that have been failures. But I'm here to tell you this morning, the topsy-turvy is good. My tomato plant is flourishing. There's little round tomatoes all over the tomato vine. Now, I planted a tomato. I'm not expecting cucumbers or squash or butter beans. What I planted, I'm expecting to reap the rewards of that eventually. And that's a principle that we need to understand in our lives as we live each day. What we sow, what we plant, is going to be what we reap. And I think we generally understand this principle, but one thing that I'm afraid that we may be a little bit unconcerned about, I think we can deceive ourselves into thinking that maybe we can get by with some things in life, that maybe we can sin, we can do whatever we want to do, satisfy the desires of the flesh, and yet somehow, as Christians, we can just get by on the day of judgment. But the Apostle Paul warns us here that we ought not to be deceived. Don't deceive yourself. The God of heaven cannot and he will not be mocked. Anything that we sow, the Lord says that we're going to reap. And I want us to explore this idea, if you will, just a little bit further in our lesson this morning. Now, I want to suggest to you this morning, first of all, that time itself limits us to what we can do in life. To me, one of the most interesting verses in all the Bible is Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 3. And there the Bible says, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. Wow. Interesting. Simple. The Bible says, if a tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falls, there shall it be. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? What's he saying? What he's saying is, as we conclude our lives here upon this earth, that's exactly the state in which we're going to find ourselves on the day of judgment. Just like that tree out in the woods, is when that tree falls, that's where the tree is. And how we end up in this life, how we live our lives, is going to determine our eternal destiny. Over in Luke chapter 16, we read the account there of the rich man and Lazarus, and the Bible makes it very clear that it's impossible for an individual to change or alter his life or his eternal destiny after his life is over. And we need to realize that this rich man understood all too late in point of time that a person could not live a selfish and indifferent life and close his eyes to the plight of the poor and then go into the presence of God in a pleasing situation. Here was a man who ignored God, he ignored his fellow man, and here was an individual that could make no changes at all after this life. And you see, if we go ahead and if we live our lives here upon this earth in such a way as to forget about God's will and God's word, and we decide that we're going to live like we please and do what we choose, the time is going to come when it will be impossible to make our lives right with God. You see, we've got to do what we can while there's time and opportunity. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night comes when no man can work. John 9 and verse 4. You see, today, the time that we're here upon this earth, this is the time for sowing. Eternity will be the time for reaping. Eternity will be the time for reaping what we've sown here in this life. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. One day we are going to rise from the dead. One day we are going to be victorious over the grave. But then notice what the wise man said, or Daniel said. He said, some will arise to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. And so one day we're going to reap as we've sown, and that will be during the ceaseless ages of a never-ending eternity. Now, since this principle is true, that what we reap depends upon what we sow, I just want to explore this idea a little bit further in our lesson today. And I might suggest this thought at this particular time, that every person here is sowing in one of two ways. Every person here who's old enough to know right from wrong, every accountable individual here this morning is either sowing to the flesh or else you're sowing to the Spirit. Now, there's no in-between at all. So many times I'm afraid that some folks feel like that they can ride the fence, but we cannot do that. We are either sowing to the flesh or else we're sowing to the Spirit. We are either serving God by the way that we live, or else we're allowing the devil to use us to serve him. Now, I think it's a terrible thing for an individual to continue to live his life sowing to the flesh. Now, that could probably be done in a number of different ways. I think about this same letter to the Galatians. Paul made it very clear what's involved in sowing to the flesh. If you look down at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19, Paul says here, the works of the flesh, sowing to the flesh. What does that involve, Paul? Well, he says adultery, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, revelries, dissensions, divisions, envies, drunkenness. The ESV says orgies. Things like these, he says, I warn you, as I've warned you before, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, Paul's very specific here about what's involved in sowing to the flesh. And if we choose to go out and we disregard the laws of God and we commit these kinds of things, Paul says you're sowing to the flesh. And I think our young people especially need to understand this principle of sowing and reaping. So many times young people don't think about where their decisions are going to lead, where this action ultimately is going to cause me to wind up in life. So many of us make great decisions, like an individual I knew in college, a friend of mine. I'm just going to call him Ken to keep names anonymous. Well, the semester was over and Ken took his class books and threw them in the garbage. I saw him. I said, what are you throwing your books away? He said, well, the semester's over and I'm through with it. I'm done. I said, don't you think you might could take those books back to the bookstore and get some money for them? Get your money back? I'm done with it. I don't care anymore. I'm done. I said, would you mind if I have those books? He said, well, you can do with them what you please. I threw them in the garbage. So I took him to the bookstore, came back with $125 cash. I said, look what I got. I don't care. Well, to me, that's the attitude that many young people have toward decisions in life, major decisions, decisions about being sexually pure or lying, doing things that give us instant gratification. Many times we're not thinking beyond right now. We think that whatever happens now, that's the most important thing, and whatever satisfies me and brings me the greatest gratification right now, that's what I'm going to do regardless of the consequences down the road, the loss that may transpire. And so we need to realize that we are going to reap what we sow. I've heard the expression, you know, young people are just going to naturally sow their wild oats. You probably have heard that expression as well. But you see, you can't sow wild oats without reaping a harvest. And that's a principle we need to understand. And if we go out and we sow to the flesh, we do these things that Paul talks about and other things, then we're going to ultimately reap corruption. We're going to reap ruin. And so many people today try to find happiness by sowing to the flesh. They may try to find it by going to a bottle of alcohol or pills, maybe some seductive relationship. Some people sow to the flesh. They try to find happiness by just trying to get more and more. Some people want to just have entertainment all the time. Of course, Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 6 speaks of the laughter of fools, and certainly laughter alone is fun, and laughter alone doesn't prove anything at all, but many times people laugh at dirty jokes. Just because one laughs doesn't prove one is genuinely happy. Many people sow to the flesh and that they become, they want more power. They relentlessly try to climb the corporate ladder. They'll stop at nothing and sacrifice everything in their selfishly motivated climb to the top. Many people sow to the flesh by involving themselves in crime or maybe in degrading others or telling falsehoods. You see, the world is looking for happiness in all the wrong places, and they're sowing to the flesh. And when they sow to the flesh, they're going to reap a harvest. And yet, if one is not sowing to the flesh, one is sowing to the Spirit. And that's the way we need to live our lives. The Bible says in James 3 and verse 18, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. It's so simple. Right living brings peace. Doing what's right brings peace of mind. I talked to an individual not very long ago. This individual probably was in his early to mid 30s, but this man was a broken individual. In my 30-minute or so conversation with this individual, it was obvious this man had hit rock bottom. He tried everything in life. He had been involved in drugs. He had been involved in alcohol, drinking and consuming alcohol. Basically, he said he was an alcoholic. He had children by two or three different women. He'd been married a couple of times. And he just said, I've tried it all now, and I just don't know what to do anymore. Here was a man in his early to mid-30s that looked like a 60-year-old man or older. You see, he learned the hard way that you reap what you sow. You see, there's no real peace of mind when an individual disregards the moral laws of God. There's no peace for the wicked. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. You know, Paul talked about sowing spiritual things over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 11. He said, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing that we reap your material things? The spiritual things that Paul had sown in the church was the knowledge of God's Word, and we need to do what we can to make sure that our lives are full of God's Word. We need to fill our lives with the Word of Christ. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, Colossians 3 and verse 16. And then we need to be able to sow that seed and share that Word with others. But here in this Galatian letter, Paul talks about what it really means to sow to the Spirit. If you turn in your Bibles again to chapter 5, Paul talks about sowing to the Spirit. And I hope all of our kids that come to Kids Sing can say these things without batting an eye. What are the fruits of the Spirit? It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Sowing to the Spirit means that we promote an attitude of love among one another. Sowing to the Spirit means that we can go to bed at night with peace in our minds. Sowing to the Spirit means that we're long-suffering, we're patient with each other, we're gentle, we exemplify goodness in our lives. It's being faithful. It's being optimistic, not pessimistic. The fruit of the Spirit is being able to control oneself. It's not allowing one to become addicted to anything. That's why Paul said, I buffet my body, I bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should become a castaway. Now Paul says, if we sow to the Spirit, we of the Spirit are going to reap life everlasting. Now, the question that we need to think about this morning is this. This past week, just the past 7 or so days, as we look at our lives, have we been sowing to the flesh or have we been sowing to the Spirit? There's no in between. I need to ask myself, what have I been sowing this week? Have I been sowing to the flesh, or have I been sowing to the Spirit? But then let me suggest to you as well is, not only does every person sow in one or two ways, but every person also reaps in one or two ways. We can either reap from sowing to the flesh, or else we can reap from sowing to the Spirit. I want us to think for a moment about what it means from reaping from sowing to the flesh. If you look at verse 8 of Galatians 6, he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. In other words, if we sow to the flesh, if we live our lives for the here and now, to gratify our selfish desires, if that's what our aim in life is, then one day you're going to reap corruption. But not only corruption, but you're going to reap the eternal wrath of God. Over in Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 31, the Bible says, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory with all of His holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand and the goats on His left. And one day the Lord's going to say to those who have sown to the flesh, depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. This morning I say in all love to those who are unfaithful, those who are putting off making that decision to obey the gospel, you need to realize that if you continue in that life of sowing to the flesh, then the only thing you have to look forward to is eternal ruin. If we sow to the flesh, then we're going to reap corruption. If we choose to satisfy our physical desires, if our only concern is for right now, the only thing we have to look forward to is corruption, the wrath of Almighty God. Somebody says, well, you know, I'm not going out here and doing a lot of bad things. I don't go out here and commit adultery and lie and steal and cheat and do all these bad things. I'm a good moral person. I think I'm a good father or a good mother. I think I'm an honorable citizen. But if you're outside the body of Christ, you are unrighteous. And being unrighteous, you stand in fear of the judgment of God. The only way one can be made righteous is by the blood of Jesus Christ, by obeying the gospel, by believing in Jesus enough that we obey him, by confessing the fact that he is God's Son, choosing to turn away from those sins, turning away from that past life, and being baptized into Christ, where we contact that blood, that saving blood, Romans 6, 3 and 4. But not only can we reap from sowing to the flesh, we can also reap from sowing to the Spirit. I love Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. The Bible says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The gift of God. Reaping from sowing to the Spirit means that we're going to get to live with God forever in heaven. The Bible says, Paul speaking in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8 says, "But godliness is profitable unto all things, having a promise of the life that now is and of the life that is to come." You want to have a good life here on this earth? You want to be genuinely happy and joyful? You want to have the hope of heaven when this life is over? Paul says, godliness is the key. Sowing to the Spirit. Godly living makes a person happier while he's living upon this earth. And the Bible says if we'll just continually and patiently sow to the Spirit, then one day we're going to reap a wonderful reward at the end of the way. "They that sow to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." The Bible says, "Let us not grow weary in well-doing." Don't give up. Don't give in to the pressure. Don't conform to the world. Don't fall short of the goal. Jesus has assured you of the victory. He's given you his promise. You have the security of his word and his grace. Don't grow weary in well-doing, because in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You see, getting the final reward is not that individual that obeys the gospel and, man, this individual is just on fire for the Lord. He's ready to conquer the world for Christ. And then after a while, he just kind of fades. Maybe becomes lukewarm and indifferent over time. That's not the one that's going to get the reward. The one that's going to get the reward is the child of God who continually, day by day, marches toward that goal, understanding his weaknesses, realizing his shortcomings. But he's striving to be faithful to God. He has his eye on the goal. "Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." I ask you today, how are you sowing as you're living your life right now? Be honest and ask yourself, am I sowing to the flesh or am I sowing to the Spirit? And I hope you'll realize as you answer that question in your own mind, I hope you'll realize there's only two ways to reap. You can reap from sowing to the flesh, or you can reap from sowing to the Spirit. This morning, the invitation is yours. If you need to come, we ask that you come now while we stand and sing.